Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. A new report from the North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research finds that expanding telepsychiatry in the state could be part of the solution to the state's struggles to provide mental health treatment to people who need it. Mebben Rash with the center joins us now to talk about it. Well, Mebben, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start from the beginning. What were you trying to find out in terms of this report on telepsychiatry?
So the center has been studying mental health reform in North Carolina for about 5 years, and often problems are easier to find than solutions, but this looked to us to be a solution, and it started out in rural areas of North Carolina as a way to connect patients to psychiatrists. 28 counties in North Carolina still don't have a psychiatrist, so often they go to their emergency rooms for treatment. And Governor Pat McCrory came in with a plan to expand telepsychiatry across the state and put telepsychiatry in all of the emergency rooms across North Carolina. And we don't know of any other state that's doing that, so it's pretty exciting.
Tell us exactly how it works. What is telepsychiatry?
So the best description I've heard is psych Skype. And that gives you a little bit of a visual, but basically a patient shows up in an emergency room and they are presented with it's a telemedicine console, but it's just a computer screen. And on the computer screen, they see a psychiatrist that's located somewhere else. And right now, that somewhere else is typically East Carolina University, but there will be 5 hubs across the state eventually as part of the state's initiative where the psychiatrist will be located.
And what did you find? How well does it work?
Well, we've seen that it works pretty well. So it helps in a number of different ways. There's less time waiting in the emergency rooms. People have a lower likelihood of returning for treatment. There are fewer involuntary commitments to the state hospitals. And there's a high satisfaction rate for patients. They seem to like it.
There's probably a cost savings to the taxpayer and the health system.
Well, I think there's a cost savings in terms of the stress on the emergency rooms. Right now, one of the tension points is around the equipment they're using. So the technology that's being used on the patient end costs about $19,000 for that mobile telemedicine cart. And then the psychiatrist has a computer unit that costs about $9,000. One of the things we'd like to see the state explore is using iPads instead, which would bring the cost savings down by a whole lot and make it much more likely that we could see telepsychiatry in primary care providers, your family doctor, for instance.
Were there concerns raised? I'm sure people are trying to wonder when they see people who do see a mental health professional, people get a lot of cues that might necessarily not be picked up on a computer screen. Or were there worries about the different sort of therapy or diagnoses and other things that would happen if it was online?
So telemedicine more generally is happening nationally. I think one of the reasons telepsychiatry is where things start is because it's talk therapy. It happens verbally, and so there aren't as many problems. You know, they don't have to do an actual physical assessment of the patient. In some cases, if there are cues that might be missed, then a nurse is in the room with the patient, and she can then describe those cues to the psychiatrist.
So then what happens, like, after session, then who takes over the care from there?
So what this allows the psychiatrist to do is make an initial assessment. And often that means medication can be started. And then there's a treatment plan is created based on that assessment. So the medication gets started immediately, but that buys a little bit of time for appropriate treatment plan to be established and get that person to a therapist or whatever other treatment's needed.
You mentioned there are 28 counties that don't have psychiatrists. I'm guessing those are rural counties?
They're rural counties.
And what have those folks been doing now?
I think going to the emergency rooms. The emergency rooms have been on the front lines of mental health care reform, even though that was an unintended consequence. And there's just not enough treatment options right now. And so that's where they're going for crisis care.
Do we know why there are no psychiatrists in 28 counties? I mean, is it a financial consideration of people who graduate in that discipline?
I think some of it is that it's also probably because the population is so low, there's not enough of a population to support it. So you're going to have regional care one way or another.
You mentioned that the governor has a proposal. How far along are we in making this happen?
So the governor presented this idea. The legislature supported it, appropriating $2 million for this year and then next year. There are 108 hospitals in North Carolina. 49 of them already had psychiatry or telepsychiatry in their emergency rooms. The program launched on January 1st, and 23 hospitals have been added. Two more have signed contracts, and the others are in contract negotiations. But it'll be statewide by next summer.
It will be fully funded, in effect.
It is fully funded.
What sort of reaction have you gotten to this, to the report? And I guess the larger question would be a parallel question. What sort of reaction in the medical community has this proposal gotten?
I think overwhelmingly people are excited and supportive. This could be a national model for the state, and people are proud of it. There are some tension points. We talked about the cost of the technology and how to work out some of those problems around privacy and Medicaid reimbursement. If you used a different type of technology like the iPads, that'll have to get addressed. There's some questions about licensure. Currently, all of the psychiatric providers will be in North Carolina, but the whole point is to create remote access to providers. So you can imagine that down the road, the provider might be located in another state or even someday in another country. And so the question is, will they have to have a North Carolina license? Right now they do. But that's going to have to get worked out a little bit over time as well. And then the other question is, for private insurance companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield, 19 states require them to reimburse for telepsychiatry. North Carolina is not one of those. So whether private insurance companies are required to participate in something like this also needs to be worked out.
So would that be something that the General Assembly could address?
So one of our recommendations was for a telemedicine study commission to address things like the reimbursement rates and the licensure.
What were some other recommendations?
We recommended the study of telemedicine, which we talked about. We'd like there to be a public campaign, education campaign, to raise awareness about telepsychiatry. It's kind of a hard concept for people to wrap their minds around. But the more people that know about it, the more people we think will be comfortable using it. And it's a good solution for rural North Carolina and for emergency rooms. And then we also think we'd like them to expand telepsychiatry to primary care providers. And there's a subcommittee at the General Assembly that's made that recommendation. So we hope it moves in that direction.
You mentioned the patient satisfaction, or your research shows the patient satisfaction is high. What about the satisfaction of the providers? I mean, do the psychiatrists themselves embrace this technology?
We didn't find anything to the contrary. Mm-hmm. So there was some, when we looked at patient satisfaction, there were some older adults who were a little bit nervous about it just because of the technology. Kids seemed to really like it. And we, in all of the literature review that we did across the country, kids seemed very, very comfortable with it.
And you mentioned this might be a national model. So is this happening other places, or is it just happening in bits and pieces other places?
There are other states that are exploring telemedicine, telepsychiatry, especially in rural areas. We have not found another state that is placing telepsychiatry in all of its emergency rooms. We think that's a pretty unique approach.
And before we let you go, I want to make sure folks understand where we are now. It is fully funded. You think the other hospitals will sign up, but there are still a few things. You've made these recommendations, so there's still some work for the General Assembly to do.
So the work for the General Assembly to do is to think about how they want telemedicine to evolve in the state going forward. Our recommendations are designed to make this a national model.
Well, great, Mebben. Thank you very much for doing this exciting work, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.